This past weekend, Vatican spokesman Father Federico Lombardi returned to the theme of Christian-Muslim dialogue, recalling Pope Benedict's response to the letter from 138 Muslim scholars entitled A Common Word.
Era una lettera importante che metteva in rilievo il luogo centrale dell'amore di Dio e del prossimo nel Corano, come nella Bibbia ebraica e cristiana.
In an editorial for Vatican Television, Father Lombardi spoke of the importance of this letter to the Pope and other Christian leaders, which focuses on love of God and love of neighbor at the heart of both Islam and Christianity. The response, signed by Vatican Secretary of State Cardinal Tarcisio Bertone in mid-November, expresses Pope Benedict's deep appreciation of the positive spirit which inspires the Muslim text, calling for a common commitment to promoting peace in the world.
Ma il Papa non si ferma alle parole. Invita il principe musulmano Ghazi di Giordania a venire a Roma con una delegazione dei promotori della lettera comune.
But as Father Lombardi notes, the Pope does not just have kind words for the Muslim scholars. He has also invited a delegation led by Jordanian Prince Ghazi, one of the initiators of the letter, to visit the Vatican for talks with the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue and other interfaith experts.
In practical terms, I think they will come to Rome, a kind of delegation. They will certainly meet His Holiness. And there will be a kind of working session.
One such expert is Father Etienne Renaud, Director of Studies at the Pontifical Institute for Arabic and Islamic Studies. He says the Pope's letter is a very strong expression of the desire to enter a new phase of the dialogue.
What impressed me is that they took, he said, his deep appreciation for this gesture and a positive spirit inspiring the letter. So I think that is a very strong expression on which I totally agree.
You and the other professors there at the Pontifical Institute for Arabic and Islamic Studies had already responded, hadn't you, to the Muslim letter?
Yes, indeed. Rather soon, I would say, after that letter, we had ourselves, you know, after a meeting together, express our appreciation in an kind of open letter to them, expressing that we had the impression that it was a very good initiative and something very new in a way.
It is new in a way, and yet your institute and other organizations like the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue have been engaged in these kind of conversations for many years, haven't you?
No, by all means, but I find on the part of the Muslim, and we have expressed that in our letter, there was something new on the fact that, in a way, they, if I could say so, they were coming on our ground, you know, speaking a lot about love of God and a common word, because the name they have given to their letter was a common word which should be the word of love. And that was, according to me, a very good start.
These are discussions, these are very positive conversations among scholars. The difficulty, however, is getting these encouraging signals from the leadership level down to the grassroots.
I totally agree with you. That it might be there, the difficult point. I would say on the Christian side, for them to know what's happening, and also on the Muslim side. Because I thought that famous letter of the 138 should be read by all the Muslims, and I am not sure that the diffusion was so great.
And on the Christian side?
On the Christian side, I don't know exactly. It has been a couple of papers, of newspapers, but I don't think there has been very much echo, and there should be more, certainly.
Muslim leaders in the past have spoken out in favour of peaceful cooperation and dialogue between different faiths' communities. So why are these latest developments particularly significant? A question I put to theology professor David Ford, director of the Interfaith Programme at Cambridge University.
It's a very fine document in itself. It's got real content on the love of God and love of neighbour. And to go for such core matters that are right at the heart of Christian faith and Muslim faith is a very good move, it seems to me. It gives one the sort of common ground that one really can share enthusiastically and from deeply within faith. But also it's important because of the range of Muslim signatories. I remember sitting down, I was part of the launch of it at the press conference in London. It was simultaneously launched in Dubai and in Washington. But at the London launch, there was myself, the Bishop of London, Richard Charters, and Dr. Arif Nayed, who was one of the signatories. And the night before in our hotel, Dr. Nayed went through the list of signatories and pointed out, this person here has millions of followers in Indonesia, Malaysia. This person here has major television programs in North Africa. This person here is a leading jurist in Syria. Here is a leading academic in Al-Azhar, and so forth. In other words, it was a wonderful combination of people who have both popular followings and also serious scholars, people who issue the fatwas that really matter. But also it covered Sunnis, Shiites, Ismailis, Ibadis, Sufis, you name it. The whole range of types of Muslim were there. And in addition, it covered the range of Muslim populations around the world. So it really was an unprecedented set of signatories for this. And I think that at least as important as the fact that this range of signatories addressed the range of Christian recipients, the heads of all the major churches, at least as important as that is the fact that it shows a new element of Muslim solidarity, that here are moderate mainstream Muslims who are fed up with being portrayed in the ways in which they are often stereotyped in the media and so forth, and are actually stating what the core of their faith is from the Quran and the Hadith and so forth, in order to communicate to Muslims as well as to the wider world what Islam is about as they understand it. Now, that's an extraordinary event, and I think the tone of it too is quite new and very significant. It's not an aggressive tone, it's not a defensive tone, it's simply a hospitable, friendly tone. And in other words, it is genuinely open across the boundaries of Islam towards, in this instance, Christians, but they intend to address Jews, they intend to address the secular world as well. And this is the beginning of a process that I think really is important, that moderate Muslims have not had a platform like this before, and they are also institutionalizing the follow-up. They are making sure that there are people in place who can make sure that this is followed through in appropriate ways.
You're saying it's addressed as much to the Muslim world as it is to the Christian world. It must have had some fairly negative responses, I imagine, from within the Muslim world, perhaps from the hardliners.
There have been some, but not nearly as many as one would think, that they have been extremely glad at the extent of Muslim support for it. I think that what is happening here is that they have chosen an issue that is reasonably uncontroversial, if you like, but really does go deep, and that it's very hard to disagree with this because it's so deeply rooted in the Quran. And I think that's the right way to go about it. In other words, it's a modest step forward to have a common Muslim platform in relating to Christians and to the rest of the world. And so far, they have managed to keep a very wide range of Muslims on board.
As you heard there, one of the signatories of A Common Word is Dr. Arif Ali Nayed, director of the Royal Islamic Strategic Studies Centre in Amman, Jordan. Following the release of the official Vatican response, I spoke to Dr. Nayed to hear his reactions and his hopes for the future of this new stage of the dialogue.
We have in the meanwhile been receiving some great responses. The first one came the very first day from the Archbishop of Canterbury, and the most recent is a great letter signed by 300 Christian leaders from mainly Protestant churches in the States and other countries. So to finally get a response from the Vatican, and a positive one, is definitely something that is pleasing and that we have been looking forward to. And it will take the Muslim ulama some time to study the Vatican response so that we can issue an official response to it. But of course, we do welcome it. The Muslim initiative was all about building up dialogue and building up peaceful relations and building up understanding on the basis of worship of the one God and love of neighbor. And we feel that it is quite pleasant to receive a positive response finally.
The Pope also invites a group of the Muslim scholars here to the Vatican. Do you have any idea when this may take place and how many of you may come over?
Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, says that when invited, you should accept the invitation. And of course, we are honored to be invited, and our scholars will take the time to just coordinate, and we will coordinate with the Vatican to see when the most appropriate time and the most appropriate way in which to do this.
In his letter, Pope Benedict also talks about the need for working meetings between the Muslim organizations and the pontifical organizations such as the Council for Dialogue, the Gregorian University, and the Institute for Arabic and Islamic Studies. Again, can you give us an idea of when this might happen?
It's good to have experts like that participate. From the Muslim side, there will also be experts from a variety of centers of study and theological faculties. And we need to, of course, coordinate all of that. As you may understand, the schedules of various peoples in different countries will take some time to coordinate. But at least now we have a clear answer from the Vatican so that the coordination can start.
It's also true to say, though, that while this marks perhaps a new phase of the dialogue, conversations have been going on, haven't they, for many years between Muslim scholars and experts at the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue. What is so significant about perhaps this new phase?
As you know, Vatican II, especially Nostra Aetate, started a new page in Catholic-Muslim relations. And many things have happened throughout the 70s and 80s and early 90s. You know, what is significant about this is that for the first time in the under the new Pope, Pope Benedict the 16th, we see this commitment to Muslim-Christian dialogue in a strong way. And now that the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue has been reconstituted again under the new leadership of Cardinal Thoran. This is, in a way, the first page of serious dialogue with the Vatican under the new Pope. So it means that the Vatican is committed to the Nostra Aetate spirit and that there is a sense of renewal of dialogue. So we will see how things will develop. It will take time, and there will be a period of getting to know each other again, in a sense. But this is an important step that we do welcome.
So far, no dates have been announced as to when the first follow-up meetings may take place, either here in the Vatican or elsewhere. But the Muslim letter and its many positive responses have already brought a new spirit of optimism to all those working in this crucial area of interfaith dialogue. Professor David Ford of the Cambridge Interfaith Programme again.
I think that this is something like the intra-Christian ecumenical movement of the last century. That it is such a big matter that there are, after all, 2 billion Christians or so and 1 billion Muslims in the world. This has to go on at all levels, and like the ecumenical movement, it will not be significant unless there's very strong grassroots support, but also it has to be regional, it has to be national, it has to be international, and it has to be academic and scholarly at the same time, and there has to be institutional buy-in too. Now, if I'm right, and this is something that potentially is on the same scale as the intra-Christian ecumenical movement, then the follow-up has to be multifaceted. Each recipient of that letter, all those to whom it is addressed in the various churches, need to take very seriously the need for their particular community to respond to this and for their best efforts to be put into making sure that it's as rich and lively and profound a response as the document is itself. Now, that's the first obvious requirement. But I think also we have to have good scholarly and ecumenical responses. In other words, that church leaders need to unite around this and see how they can respond together and have common Christian responses. But also the scholars of Christianity have to make sure that they lay the foundation for really thorough, deep, and historically grounded, scripturally grounded, theologically grounded responses to this, so that this is not just a flash in the pan, but that it is taken further. And, of course, beyond that, that there is the right in-depth engagement with Muslim scholars. And the best thinkers in the Muslim world are now ready to engage with Christian scholars on this, and we have to seize that opportunity.
My thanks there to Professor David Ford, Director of the Cambridge Interfaith Programme. And earlier you heard Professor Aref Ali Nayed of the Royal Islamic Strategic Studies Centre in Amman, Father Etienne Renault of the Pontifical Institute for Arabic and Islamic Studies here in Rome, and Vatican spokesman Father Federico Lombardi.